we've got a special guest on the line, Morena David, aka Alphabet Head.
Morena, how's it going?
Hi,
it's so good.
How are you?
Doing awesome. I feel I could have done with at least 8 hours more sleep.
Oh, yeah? Did you only get none?
No, I got a solid 8. I think a solid 16, and I'm on cloud 9.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Very good.
Thank you for joining us, even though you're a bit sleepy. We're going to talk about the album that you just put out.
My name is David. It's bloody good. We're really enjoying all of the stuff that you're putting out, and this is your debut. Is it your debut solo album?
It's my debut electronic album on an actual label. I've been sort of putting out professional DIY releases since I was like 16, but I'm calling this a rebirth and a first part of hopefully a new chapter.
How does it feel to have it out in the world?
Gosh, I was actually thinking about this. For the last 3 months, the album has been done with all the artwork and all the mastering and waiting, and I've kind of loved it. Like, I've coined the term Schrodinger's album. For those 3 months, well, it's finished and not released, both a huge success, surpassing my wildest expectations, and a failure. And then the mere act of releasing it makes it a tangible thing, and I kind of like the limbo. Mm-hmm. Now that I've put it out, I'm super stoked. But of course, in your mind, I want to be like Kim Kardashian with the champagne. I want to break the internet. And then it comes out, and it means so much to me, and it can never live up to what it was doing in my mind. So it's so exciting, because I have had lovely messages from friends like, oh, I'm listening to it, I'm loving it. But does that make sense, the theory of Schrodinger's album, where it's been done and it can be anything? And I've loved it. I think that's the perfect state for an album to be. Totally done, finished, mastered, artwork, tweaked to perfection, but then it never comes out. I think that's the one.
Well, so, we're glad it came out so we can listen to it.
Yeah.
But I totally get that. Sometimes releasing music can feel a little bit like shooting it off into the void or something, eh?
Yes. Yeah. No, it has probably been a 3-year long ordeal. Oh no, ordeal makes it sound awful. It's been a 3-year long musical holiday
journey,
and it is a bit teary eyed to like tick it off. But then I think, like, it is like my life's been obsessed with it, or just my spare time. So it's like, well, what comes next?
And I think the glory of it is, you know, you can repeat the cycle all over again, you know. You can just do another album.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, I'll start populating my room with little post-it notes of new ideas in upcoming weeks, I think.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the creative process, because there's a real range of vibes, from sort of like video game leaning sounds to some darker stuff, and then of course your turntable scratching in here. And then it's sort of, when you listen to the first couple of tracks, there's so many different voices and instrumental sort of elements that you forget that it's a pretty much entirely sample-based solo project. So yeah, how do you go about approaching your music making process?
So for this album, it is a totally new way for me. The old way is I've been just accumulating records since I was about 12 years old. That was my thing. Mum might be in the secondhand store looking for, you know, some special vintage pajamas, and I'd be in the record aisle. And even as a kid, it would be stuff like Star Wars story tapes and comedy records, Rowan Atkinson. So I've been collecting vinyl. So every other album I've done, I just pick vinyl and then look for something that catches my ear and then loop it up and then just start adding more and more drums and other samples on top. This album, I started with sound design using synthesizers.
Right.
And it all started from, gosh, I guess sitting at a computer and tweaking and trying to, rather than dig for a sample, create a sound that evokes a certain something in my head or gets my spine tingling. And sometimes it would take hours to find like to create a sound I love, but often it would happen in the first 5 minutes, and then it would be building a world around that sound. But you're right, there is also samples on this album. I just couldn't resist. I got all the song to the sort of 90% finish phase, and then I felt the call of the turntables. I couldn't resist. So I feel that the garnishes, like with that song I'm Lucy Lawless, it's all electronic. But then I put in the I'm Lucy Lawless at the end, and then it all comes together, you know. It's just a boring beat, and then it makes it come alive. Do you know what I mean?
For sure. I do love that Lucy Lawless track, but I also like how that was the first single, and then the album is titled My Name is David, and so is the first track, so it sort of feels like a bit of a reintroduction. It's like, you are David, but you have the spirit of Lucy Lawless in there, eh?
Yes, oh, that's exactly why I called it My Name is David, because it's like I'm introducing myself. I'm a new artist, reborn.
Reborn, I love
that's
that.
That's stunning. So you were talking about collecting vinyl since a very young age, but this album is out on cassette. Why is that so?
Oh, okay, so I'm collecting vinyl. I basically mean I was collecting all mediums of music. I also collect and I think some of my most intimate music memories were in the 90s as a kid. I got a Walkman at a very early age, and my parents were actually big trampers. They loved going bush, and so I would go with them, and I'd take, you know, 12 AA batteries, and I would be scaling mountain ranges like the Tararuas.
Yep.
Taking in the most beautiful vistas, and then in my headphones I'd have cassettes on loop. So I've got quite a cassette collection too. But I guess straight up, the main reason I got cassettes, it was more economic, and also the album length. Gosh, I'm really bad when it comes to brevity. Is this answer's proving the album was a little bit too long, and this is already the abridged version. I got rid of 4 tracks, so it would have been a double album, and it would have weighed a ton. And also the vinyl turnaround times were about 5 months, and I left it a bit late. But anyway, I personally love cassettes, and when I designed the album cover with the cement mixer, I was imagining it would be horizontal, and it would sit on people's desks and look like a little miniature Hot Wheels car.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was part of the plan.
It does. Oh,
where does the cement mixer come from?
Oh, gosh. It is a bit of a silly story, but bear with me.
I love a silly story.
The cement mixer, do you know how it's the rebirth?
Yeah.
My mum loves to tell the story of when I was a baby, we were in this amazing new suburb in Wellington called Broadmeadows, and we were one of the first houses. And my favourite thing, I would drink milk and I would crawl around, but Mum said I was at my best when I was propped up on the couch looking at out the window, and I'd see all the construction vehicles going up the road and populating this new neighbourhood. And Mum said my first word was not Mum or Dad, it was cement mixer, because it was, I just loved seeing them going up the road. So that's why I put it on the cover. And even to this day, if I see a concrete mixer in the wild, it does put a pep in my step. I still really like them. And I was fact-checking this story with Mum. I was like, remember that story you told me about saying cement mixer is my first word? That sounds ridiculous. But she's like, no, it was true. And not only that, when you were learning to speak, whatever you said we'd get you. So I said cement mixer, and she got me a little cement mixer matchbox car. And then I said bulldozer, and she got me a bulldozer. So whatever I'd say, aww, she'd get for me. Aww. And I really wish I said free Palestine.
Oh, hard out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Shut up, Mum, though. That's beautiful.
Yeah, so I was like, I have to fact check the story. So I fact checked it a month ago, and she told me about the matchbox cars and stuff, and gosh, it really, I was so happy I pushed forward with that album cover.
It looks,
it's
really awesome. And now I know the story behind it.
Wicked. That album cover, that is not a real concrete mixer. That is a photograph of a little model toy concrete mixer. That's why it's sort of got the chunky, cute perspective, the dimensions took a little bit off.
Cute. Brilliant. Cute. I love it. Oh, so cool. Everyone can get out there and buy cassettes as well as the digital album on Bandcamp. It's called My Name is David by Alphabet Head. There's also merch. These long sleeve shirts are very cool. And you're heading on tour. This is very exciting. Playing Tamaki Makaurau on Saturday the 13th of December at Audio Foundation alongside Displeasure and Bird Party. Bloody awesome lineup.
Yeah, so we all sort of moved to Whanganui around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they became not only my favourite bands, but my friends. And I find it difficult touring with just, I have toured a bit with a solo act and it's just me in the car alone with audiobooks on loop. But I can't wait, it'll be six of us in the car yarning up a storm. Oh, it's going to be brilliant.
Oh, we're so excited to have you up in Tamaki again and see how you bring the album to life. What can we expect from your set?
Gosh, it's a bit of a Rubik's Cube, actually. I'm currently trying to stem the songs out and work out what turntable does what, because in my setup it's two turntables and two samplers. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you exactly what it will be, but there'll be lots of scratching and there'll be lots of danceable beats and all sorts of strange synthesized textures flying around the room.
Brilliant. Oh man. Aww. Can't wait. Well, can't wait. Thank you so much, David, for joining us for a corridor, and congratulations on your album. It's just sounding so awesome.
Appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
We're going to listen to No Control, which is one of the previously released singles and a song that you've chosen for us to listen to. Tell us a little bit about this track before we sign off.
This is sort of a desolate song. The melody is this thing called a nadswaram, which is a hardwood wind instrument from South India. And it's one of the instruments, like the bagpipes and like the accordion, that when I hear it, it just sends shivers down my spine. So with this one, my main mission was to have the melody in the sound world ambiguous, so the listener sort of has to decipher whether it carries hope or despair or a bit of both. So it's probably the most emotionally wrought song, but I hope you enjoy it.
Very good. Thank you so much for chatting with us, and we just can't wait to see you at Audio Foundation on the 13th of December.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a lovely day, everyone.
You too. Ka kite. Bye.
In this world, man has no control, even over his own will.